This morning I'd like to invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 22, verses 12 through 17. Revelation chapter 22, verses 12 through 17. And behold, I am coming quickly. My reward is with me to give everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take of the waters of life freely. Whenever we set out to illustrate a point, we often search through life around us to find something similar, something we can relate to. And it's especially good if the audience understands the example. These type of points make a lasting impression on us because we're familiar with the illustration. Thus, Jesus' illustration of a woman cleaning her house to find a misplaced coin stays with us. Or his illustration of a man with two sons, one who is rude and refused to do what he was told, and later changes his mind, and then the other who tells his dad what he wants his dad to hear and doesn't do it. And whenever we hear about that, we generally think, I know somebody like that. But that brings me to this point. I am a dog lover. And I love my pet. This is Mikey, for all of you to know. There are numerous characteristics that make him enjoyable. But I've got to admit, there are some habits that dogs have that are not good. But I didn't come here this morning to talk about Mikey. I want to talk about dogs in the Bible. That's what I want us to look at. Dogs were domesticated very early on. Usually they were used for guard duty. In Job 30 and verse 1, but now they mocked at me, men younger than I, whose fathers I disdained, to put with the dogs of my flock. The dogs were used to guard the flock. The problem is that there were no leash laws, no dog catchers, no humane societies to deal with stray dogs. Ancient cities often had packs of stray dogs wandering the streets and living off the dumps of the city. I remember when we went to Pompeii. That was one of the things that struck me about Pompeii. They had stray dogs in that town that were there clear back when Pompeii was covered in ash. They never lost those dogs. And the pack is still there to this day. And people feed the dogs out of respect for the fact that they are a part of history. But dogs, by their very nature, are ready to eat just about anything they can find. Mikey, for instance, the other day, I heard some noise in the bedroom and I went in there. What is that strange noise? Well, Mikey had found a little container of salsa. And he took it back under the bed to eat it. So he'll eat just about anything he can get his mouth on. But the psalmist in Psalm 59, verses 14 and 15, said, "And at evening they return, they growl like a dog and go all around the city. They wander up and down for food and howl if they are not satisfied." And that's how dogs are. That's the way they're the very nature of them. Now, in times of war, they would appear in the aftermath. In Psalm 68, verse 23, David says, "That your foot may crush them in blood, and the tongues of your dogs may have their portion from your enemies." Also, if you will, please, over in 1 Kings chapter 14 and verse 11, "The dogs shall eat whoever belongs to Jeroboam and dies in the city, and the birds of the air shall eat whoever dies in the field. The Lord has spoken." And then finally, Jeremiah 15 and 3, "I will appoint over them four forms of destruction, says the Lord. The sword to slay, the dogs to drag, the birds of the heaven and the beasts of the earth to devour and destroy." So, while they had uses, in general, people didn't like dogs. They were kind of a nuisance. They would actually throw stones or swing sticks at growling dogs to get them to go away. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, 43, "So the Philistine said to David, 'Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?' And the Philistine cursed David by his gods." That was a common practice. People understood what that meant. Stray dogs, of course, have a problem of turning on you at any time. You can be feeding a stray dog and, oh, it's just wonderful. And the next thing you know, they're growling at you and maybe even bite you. And that's why Jesus said in Matthew 7 and 6, "Do not give that which is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine." Why? "Lest they trample them under feet and turn and tear you in pieces." But one thing we want to note, referring to a person as a dog was an insult. It was an insult, and one of the worst insults you could give to a person. Why, I ask, are there no dogs in heaven? Now, I'm not going to deal with the eschatological point here, that a dog does not possess an eternal soul, although we understand them to possess the element of life and to have the ability to interact with human beings and so forth and have emotion and so forth. They do not possess an eternal soul. But I mean, why are there no dogs, as in people, in heaven? In Revelation 22 and verses 14 and 15, the passage just read in the introduction, "Blessed are those who keep his commandments and may have right to the tree of life, enter the gate by the city." Notice, outside are dogs. Dogs. Now, you notice they're sexually immoral and sorcerers and murderers and idolaters, whoever practices a lie. But there's dogs out there, too. And what do you suppose that refers to? I don't think we would conclude it means actual dogs. It's referring to people who have the characteristics of dogs. Now, let's look at some of those characteristics. Dogs are characterized by laziness. My dog goes from laying in one bed in one room to another bed in another room. And that's basically what his exercise consists of. He is lazy. Now, when it comes to time for food, he's real active and real excited. But throughout the day, his basic practice is laziness. But a guard dog, on the other hand, who doesn't bark, is a worthless dog. Notice in Isaiah 56, 10 and 11, his watchmen are blind, they're ignorant, they are all dumb dogs. He's talking about people here. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yes, they are greedy dogs, which never have enough. And they are shepherds who cannot understand. They all look to their own way, and every one for his own gain from his own territory. That's a characteristics of dogs. But it also refers to children of God who need to be diligent in their activity. We understand that we have a responsibility before God to not be lazy and not to just bide our time. We are to be diligent. And if you look in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 11 and 12, we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Not only are we not to be lazy, but we are to be diligent. Diligent. And we are not to be sluggish, but rather imitate those who through faith, that is looking to examples of faith, and patience have inherited the promises. We want to do the same thing. But you notice, dogs have a tendency to be greedy. I never will forget the old story about the dogs who always ate the leftovers, and they had a bowl that they laid out by the back porch. Jerry Clower told this story. And one night, there was a big old mess of boiled okra. Now, if you've ever seen boiled okra, you know what I'm talking about. And his mama slapped that boiled okra down in the bowl. Those two old dogs came, rushing just fast as they could. And then suddenly they began fighting and rolling. And you know what the problem was? It went down so quick that they don't know which one got it. And the other one was mad. And so they're rolling around on the floor. They're greedy. They don't say, oh, after you, please. No, they're greedy. In Isaiah 46 and verses 10, declaring the end from the beginning and the ancient times that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I shall do my pleasure. Call a bird of prey from the east, the man who executes my counsel from a far country. Indeed, I have spoken it and I will bring it to pass. And I tend to think that this is not the passage that I meant to call up on this reference. But maybe it's 56. Oh, I don't have my. Can you read it for me real quick, David?
I don't have it.
I'm sorry.
When we read another one, his watchmen are blind. They're all ignorant. They're all dumb dogs.
Yes.
They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yes, they are greedy dogs.
There.
Which never have enough. And they are shepherds who cannot understand.
Right.
They all look to their own way, every one for his own gain.
Good.
His own territory.
Greedy dogs. I just pushed the wrong button there. Whoa, that's not the right one. It's a good passage of scripture, though. But anyway, thank you, Dylan. Thank you, David, for pointing that out. Now, as we noted just a moment ago, they also woof their food down rapidly. It's This is a reference to leaders who run after gain. They're greedy dogs who rapidly eat their food. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 2, shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, Paul, Peter says, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. That would refer, a dog would refer to a leader who runs after gain. And unfortunately, there are people like that in the church. And indeed, they're amongst the dogs that won't be entering into heaven. But now we're going to get to the one I really love. Dogs have disgusting habits. I can't even mention all of them, but I'll mention a few. If a dog eats something that disagrees with him, or gulps down something that was too big of a chunk for him to really digest, he simply vomits it up. Now, what's disgusting about it is this. He often turns around and eats it again. He doesn't realize that if it wasn't good the first time, then it's not going to be any better the second time. And that becomes an illustration. In Proverbs 26 and verse 11, as a dog returns to his own vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. That's exactly right. Foolish people act like dogs. They repeat the same mistakes over and over again, never stopping to think there's a reason why it was a mistake in the first place. They continue. Peter used this for the same purpose in 2 Peter 2, verse 22, when he talked about, it's according to the true proverb, here it is, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed were wallowing in the mire. Some people leave sin and depart from it just so they can turn around and go back to it again. That's the dogs. That's the dogs we're talking about. A dog who vomits feels better, but he goes right back to what made him sick in the first place. For some, we show the way of righteousness and how to purge sin from their life so that when they begin feeling better, they don't go back into sin but realize they have been delivered from it. Dogs have unbridled lust. Unaltered male dogs are disposed to mate with anything, anywhere. They have no restraint, no modesty. And that's unfortunately just the way some people are, who show no restraint and abnormal practices of sexual intercourse are definitely called dogs. They're dogs. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 23. Let's read verses 17 and 18 and hope for a hit. There shall be no ritual harlot of the daughters of Israel or a perverted one of the sons of Israel. You shall not bring the wages of a harlot or the price of a dog to the house of the Lord your God for any vowed offering, for both of these are an abomination to the Lord. A man who sells his body, or one who practices homosexuality, is referred to biblically as a dog. Now, the point Moses was making here is that God does not accept offerings from wicked people. Look at Proverbs 15 and verse 8. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is His delight. Offering worship to God doesn't give license to sin. The come on line of the harlot in Proverbs 7 verse 14 is, I paid my vows, and therefore it's all right. It's all right. Ill-gotten gain doesn't bring honor to God when it's given to Him in sacrifice. We mentioned something a moment ago, but I want to pursue it a little bit more here. A dog can turn on you. In Matthew 7 and verse 6, do not give what is holy unto dogs, lest they trample them under your feet, their feet, and turn and tear you to pieces. Feeding a stray dog, and it's going to accept your food, of course, but when you're done, you never know what it's going to do. It may turn and tear you to pieces. And I want to say this. There are some dogs that are family dogs who suddenly turn on their masters. And I don't know, excuse me, if it's a breed-specific thing. Pit bulls are bad about it. Rottweilers are bad about that. But I think any dog could do that. Any dog. They're unpredictable. But some people are like that. They're friendly just as long as they're getting something from you. But they quickly turn on you if they see a benefit to themselves of some sort. Those people are the ones Jesus is talking about. I know that I have failed to recognize dogs and swine on more than one occasion. Thank you, Lauren. On more than one occasion, and kept giving that which is holy to them, only to have them turn on me and cause me heartache. But I'm just persistent that way. I'm just persistent. I love the souls of men so much that I don't know when to quit sometimes. But the warning is here. But you know, here's something that concerns me more than anything else. It's about dogs in the church. I'm not talking about bring your dog to church day, okay? I'm talking about dogs sitting in the church. They're the ones who are described by Paul as biting and devouring one another. Look at it carefully with me, if you will. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. When Christians are constantly at one another's throats, and generally about trivia, about nothing, the danger is there not only that they will bite each other, but they will devour one another. That's some of the dogs that are going to be on the outside with the sorcerers and the immoral and the idolaters. And really, this type of action is the result of a focus on personal pleasure. What's in it for me? What can I get out of this? In James, the fourth chapter, James deals with this very subject when he says, where do wars and fights come from among you? Why are you biting and devouring each other? Don't they come from your own desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and you have not. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your own pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. James just got right down to it, what the real problem is. You want to have the world as a friend. So what does that do? Well, that sets you at enmity with God. And when you've got that type of thing going on, there's the biting and devouring that Paul talked about. And of course, it's also, the term dog is also referring, or can refer, to false teachers. Look at Matthew 7:15. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. Now, you know your dog is related to a wolf. You know this because you've seen it on TV. Actually, the DNA is not even similar. But anyway, I saw that commercial, and then I saw a talk show one time where a person talking about DNA said that the DNA is quite different between a wolf and a regular domesticated dog. But it makes a good story, and it sells that blue bag of food real well. But anyway, ravenous wolves, that's what false teachers are, false teachers. And an example in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14-15, is Alexander, who turned on Paul, the coppersmith, did him much harm, but the Lord repay him according to his works. You must also beware of him. He has greatly resisted our words. So, the warning of beware in Philippians 3, verse 2. Listen to it. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the mutilation. In other words, you must understand that there are some people out there that are going to be in this category of dogs. And they're not going to go to heaven. Dogs, in fact, have a tendency to run in packs. And in a pack, they become worse than alone. A dog gets courage whenever he's with other dogs. And, you know, this, in prophecy, David talked about Christ's death and referred to the mob that was out there around Christ as a pack of dogs. Look at it with me, if you will. Psalm 22:16, dogs have surrounded me. This is a prophecy of the crucifixion now. Dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. Again in verse 20. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life, from the power of the dog. Because they're in a pack, they let someone else do their thinking for them. And ultimately, it means no one is really using their head the way they should. Each wrong emboldens others to do greater wrongs. Look at Proverbs 1:10-16 with me, if you will. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, and whole like those who go down into the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Don't want to be part of those dogs. We want to remember, there are no dogs in heaven. We read it in Revelation 22, verses 14 and 15. Outside are dogs and sorcerers. Outside what? Blessed are those who do His commandments and may have right to the tree of life and enter through the gates into the city. Where are you going to be? Where are you going to be? The people of God are characterized as sheep. Not dogs. Sheep. In Psalm 100, verses 3 through 5, David wrote, "Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into the gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations." Begs the question, where will you be in eternity? You want to go into the gates, into the city? Then you want to be sure that you aren't out there with the dogs. You won't make it. You won't make it. Think seriously about these things. And if in evaluating your life, you realize that you're not in a relationship with God that you should be, why not repent? Confess your sin to God. Ask for His forgiveness in full assurance that He will indeed forgive you.